First Samuel, chapter number 18. First Samuel, that comes right before Second Samuel, chapter number 18. And we'll read just a few verses. If you'd like to stand just for a few minutes to stretch your legs, you can if you're physically able to. If not, that'll be fine, but it'll give you an opportunity to stand. You never have to stand to honor God's word, but it is good to. First Samuel chapter number 18. This will be a different, sort of different kind of message, but I hope it'll be a help to you and a blessing. First Samuel chapter 18. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say hang on a minute. Now I want you to look at verse number 12. First Samuel 18 and verse number 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now look at verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him, being afraid of David. Now look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here again. It sure is good to be in the house of the Lord with God's people, hearing the songs of Zion lifted up in praise. And I pray, God, that you'd help us today in a very special way. Bless this sermon, bless this message, bless the speaker, bless the hearer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Here in 1 Samuel, chapter number 18, 1 and 2 Samuel is a story about a kingdom. There is a kingdom that God has here in 1 and 2 Samuel. And before the nation of Israel had a king, Saul was their first king. And before Saul became the first king, we had the judges. You remember Samson being one of the judges and all that kind of thing. Well, Israel came and said, hey God, we want a judge like, or excuse me, we want a king like all these other countries. We want a king. We want one. God says, if you'll hang on, I'll give you one. They said, we don't want to wait. We want to pick our own king. And so Israel said, we'll take King Saul. And King Saul was the people's choice, not God's choice. God had another king in the making. And his name was King David. And if we'll wait long enough, God will send the king that he wants us to have. But Israel said, we don't want to wait on God. We want our own king. We want King Saul. And God says, and sometimes, hey, sometimes God will give you what you want, but it ain't what he wants you to have. Sometimes you'll get what you want, but you'll lose what you have. And so King Saul became the king for the nation of Israel. And what you'll see, this king, King Saul was a natural king. He was taller than everybody else. He was smarter than everybody else. He thought he was better looking than everybody else. He was a natural king, but there was a problem. Saul was a rejected king. As we just read, he disobeyed God, and God rejected King Saul as king. In this kingdom, we have an old natural king named King Saul. But God didn't leave it that way. God, in his wisdom, raised up another king to come along. And in chapter 16 and verse number 7, I want you to look at chapter 16 and verse number 7. And this is what it said in verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. King Samuel, the prophet Samuel says, hey, God wants a king in Israel. And he said, I'm going to Jesse's house. That was David's daddy. And says, hey, how many boys you got? He said, well, I got these boys right here. And he said, well, that's not him. And that ain't him. And that ain't him. And you got any more boys? He said, well, these are only ones that's been to school and know anything. These are the ones that's been to school, and these are the ones that I would recommend. Yeah. Samuel says, well, God's not, he's just not impressing me with these because the outward looks good, but God's looking on the heart. Yeah. And Jesse says, well, I do have one more boy, and he's out there with the sheep. And he's a little short, ruddy, snotty-nosed boy. You're probably not interested in him. They said, well, let me see him. And he saw him, and that's where Samuel said, look not on the height of his stature. For God, for man, looking on the outward appearance, but God's looking on the heart. And Samuel says, that's the next king of Israel. Now, let me show you something just a few minutes here that the time we have together. Saul was a natural king. But this new king that come to town, maybe you might recognize him. He was, King David was born in Bethlehem. This King David was despised by his brethren. This King David was a shepherd over the sheep. This king faced a hungry lion and killed him with his bare hands. This is a story about a kingdom. And this kingdom starts out with old, rejected King Saul. And then the new king comes on the scene. Well, let me try to explain it to you this way. In the Garden of Eden, that was a kingdom. And God put a king over that kingdom, and his name is Adam. Well, Adam fell, sin entered the world, and Adam lost that kingdom. So God didn't want to leave it that way, so he sent another king to restore that kingdom. You might recognize it. He was born in Bethlehem. He was despised by his brethren. He was a shepherd over the sheep. Boy, I'm feeling good this morning, man. You might recognize him. His name is King Jesus, and God sent King Jesus to restore what King Adam lost. Now, let me explain to you this way. And right in here is a kingdom. And before you were saved, King Adam sat on the throne. But God didn't leave you that way. God sent you another king that wants to come in here and sit on the throne. And there's another king, and his name is King Jesus. And so what you have, now get this is probably not a great Sunday morning message, but hey, it's all I got, and I'm too far into it now to change. But God didn't leave your kingdom that way. He sent another king to come, and when you got saved, another king moved in. Now get this, in that kingdom, 1 Samuel, you had King Saul and King David living in the same kingdom. You got two kings living in the same kingdom. Well, guess what? Everybody in here, in this kingdom, I still got King Adam in there, and I still got King Jesus. And here's the sermon. Which one you going to let sit on the throne? Now you say, well, I don't have a King Adam living on the inside of me. You let somebody pull out in front of you on the highway and you'll see King Adam come up. I was going down I-40 yesterday watching Dalton play softball and coming back from there, and I'm going to tell you, they was doing some road construction, and I'm telling you, I got my gospel music on, and boy, I'm telling you, King Jesus is on the throne. Amen. going down I-40. And all of a sudden, construction comes, and you got these people whooping in and out and getting in front of me and cutting me off and this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, King Adam showed up. And I'm doing one of these numbers. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all ever been there? There's two kings living on the inside. Now, let me show you this sermon right here. Let me show you this message right here. Now, let me show you this. Because you have two kings living on the inside of you. I think Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other. So you do have two kings that live on the inside of you. And so 1 and 2 Samuel is about a kingdom with two kings living on the inside of you. Now let me say this. The old king, he's a fighter. That old king, King Saul, is a fighter. He don't care who he hurts. He don't care who he has to step over as long as he can stay on the throne. He don't mind tearing up a church. He don't mind splitting a church. He don't mind hurting the church as long as he can stay in control and stay on the throne. Now David, in other words, is not a fighter in the sense of the throne. He was a great fighter, but you'll never find anywhere where he fought Saul for the throne. David didn't sit on the throne until it was yielded to him to sit there. Saul was a fighter, and he was going to do everything he possibly could to stay on that throne, no matter who he hurt. Now let me say this, the first time King Saul ever met little shepherd boy David. Now watch this, look at chapter 16. Look at chapter 16 right there. That's King Saul calling right now. Tommy, you tried to warn me. You tried to warn me, and I didn't listen to you. I'm telling you, you told me your sister would cause trouble, and I didn't listen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I want you to look at this. This is the first time King Saul met King David. Look at verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now guess what happened? King Saul says, I need somebody to make me feel good. And so this is what he says. I'm going to fast forward. He says, hey, do y'all know anybody can come and play a little music, make me feel good? And his servant says, yeah, Jesse's got a boy that plays the harp. Right. And we'll get him to come in here. Now watch what it does. Look at verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with his sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine, the kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. Now, let me just say something right here. The old king don't mind the new king coming around as long as he'll make you feel good. Saul liked it when David came around and sang because it made King Saul feel better. Some people only want the new king around when he'll make you feel better.
All right.
We only want him around when we need something. They don't mind the singing because that singing, King David, that singing makes me feel real good. But now, let me stay on the throne. Just because you make me feel good, I don't want you taking over and sitting on the throne. I won't sit on the throne. You just make me feel good and stay nearby just in case I need you. Now, let's fast forward to chapter number 17. Guess what? In chapter number 17, there was a fellow by the name of Goliath out there. And he was a Philistine, and he was making fun of God's people. And I'm telling you, he was making fun of God's people, cussing God and all this kind of thing. And guess who's supposed to take care of that? King Saul. But King Saul's over there going, man, I don't know what we're going to do. He's done took Balox. He's done took ibuprofen. He done took everything in the medicine cabinet. He don't know what to do. The whole kingdom is looking at him going, hey, King Saul, what you going to do? You going to let this guy talk to us this way? And so all of a sudden, the new king, King David, shows up and says, why are y'all letting him talk to us that way? And they said, well, King Saul hadn't decided what he wants to do yet. King David said, I'll go out there. Sure will. King Saul says, well, I tell you what, if you want to go out there, I'll give you my army. King David says, I don't need that arm. I don't need something that, I need something that's proven to work. I need something proven to work. And so King David goes down the brook, gets him 5 smooth stones. He said, why did he need 5 smooth stones? Well, he needed one for Goliath, and Goliath had 4 brothers. Just in case they got in the way. And so King David comes out there and says, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. He has that slingshot, no armor on him whatsoever. He has that slingshot. He slings that rock, the rock, and it hits that giant in the forehead, and he falls face forward. Amen. David took his own sword, cut his head off. Now watch this. King Saul didn't mind King David being around as long as he can kill giants for him. You know, King Saul didn't mind David being around as long as he made him feel good. King Saul won't mind King David being around as long as he can slay giants for him. You know, King David, I only need, hey, Jesus, I only need you when I need you. I only need you around when I need you. And if you'll go out there and kill that giant for me, I'll be grateful, but I'm going to stay on the throne. Ain't that something? Hey, now, listen, that's a pretty good sermon, whether you believe it or not. We all have a kingdom, and we have 2 kings living on there, and both of them are fighting to sit on the throne and going to control your life. King David, King Saul wants to stay on that throne. But King David, you find over there in chapter 17, he kills that giant. Now, I want you to look at something else. Look at chapter 18. Look at chapter 18. Let me show you something here. Look at verse 1 of chapter 18. This is a whole series of messages, and I'm doing it all in one Sunday morning. And it came to pass, verse 1, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan, now Jonathan is Saul's son, Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And listen, hey, David has done made a connection with Saul's son. You know what that new king wants? He wants our kids. He wants our kids. He wants our children to serve him. And sometimes King Saul says, hey, I want you. Listen, here's a lot of people. Here's a lot of people's problem. I want enough Jesus to save me. But I don't want him taking over and controlling everything I do. I want him to save me from hell, but I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't, you know, and I could say a whole lot right here, but I'm telling you, hey, the world is getting our kids, and King Saul is getting our kids. And King Saul is getting our kids out of church by having all these activities and on Sundays. And King David says, I want to have a relationship with our kids. Oh, I could go a lot of different directions right there.
Amen.
King Saul is getting our kids out of church.
Right.
King David says, hey, I want them in church.
Amen.
Now, watch this. Not only did King David get his son, but look here. And verse number 5, and David went out to where Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and all the sights of Saul's servants. Do you know what King David now? King David took over Saul's son. Now he's took over Saul's servants. You say, God wants your servants. You say, what are my servants? Well, Romans chapter 6 says, my hands are my servants. My feet are my servants.
Okay.
My ears are my servants. My eyes are my servants.
Okay. Yeah.
And my kingdom. And God says, I want to control your servants.
Okay.
Your hands, either King Saul controls or King David controls. Your eyesight, either King Saul controls or King David controls. Our ears, what goes in these ears, either King Saul controls it or King David controls. And then all of a sudden, King David has been put control over Saul's servants. Now watch this. Y'all ready? Let me find these. Look at here. Verse 6, y'all ready? Chapter 18, verse 6. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with the tabrets with joy, with the instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played. Now, hang on. Don't read that song yet. Hang on. I got to paint the picture for you. King David done slew the Philistine.
Yes.
Now the king's in the front. Mm-hmm. King Saul is in this parade down the street.
Right.
And all the city of, or the nation of Israel is gathered around, and the ladies are all, you know, hey, you know us men when the ladies start praising us, you know? So they're walking down the street. King Saul is in the front because he's the king.
Yeah.
King David is his armor bearer. He's in behind him. So King Saul's coming through there, and boy, them ladies are singing and dancing. Boy, King Saul is really. This is what they're singing. Watch. This is what they're singing. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David he is 10,000. Mm. They're singing. Y'all with me? And the first verse of that song, King Saul is like, amen. King Saul has slain his thousands. King Saul is like, yes, I have. But David has slain 10,000s. And he said, King David has already got my son. He's already got my servants. And now he's done got my song. He's done got my song. And then, you won't believe what this Bible says. Verse 8. I wonder if King Saul was happy about that. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said this. They have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Now watch this. You know what he said? He said, King David has already got my son. He's already got my servants. He's now done got my song. And now he wants my seat.
Amen. Amen.
In your kingdom, Jesus Christ wants the seat. He wants to sit down. And a lot of times, King Adam is in that spot. King Adam is sitting in that spot. And King Jesus is saying, I want your son. I want your servants. I want your song. I want the seat. But I'm not going to fight over the seat. If King Jesus has to fight over the seat, he wants the seat to be yielded to it because you want to, not because he fought for it. God ain't going to force his way and take over your life. We're not a bunch of robots. He says, hey, I have saved you. I've come into your kingdom to save you. But I would like to control your life. I would like to be the king over your kingdom. Now, let me say this. We see all of this here in this series of chapters and verses here. Look at verse number 11. Remember I told you King Saul is a fighter. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. King Saul tried to kill King David twice and couldn't do it. Let me get over here on the Pentecostal side. King Saul tried to kill King David twice and couldn't. You can't kill a new king. You can try, but you can't kill him. He ain't going nowhere. I said he ain't going nowhere. Now, this old king is a fighter, but the new king won't fight for that throne. Now, watch this. The old king cannot kill the new king, no matter how hard he tries. You can't get the new king out. That old King Saul wanted to kill King David, tried to kill King David, couldn't kill King David, no matter how hard he tried. But watch, King David could have killed King Saul and didn't. King Saul wanted to kill King David and couldn't. King David could have killed King Saul and wouldn't. You say, how do you know? Oh. Hey, that Bible's got a lot of information in there. There was a time when Saul, they were out to battle, and King Saul was out there asleep in one of those caves. All of them fell asleep. King David snuck in there and cut off a piece of his garment that he had. Come out on top of the hill. When King Saul saw him, woke up, King David says, I could have killed you, but I didn't. There was other time when King David got I don't have time to read all this, but King David got a jar of King Saul's water and said, I could have killed you, but I didn't when I came in there. You see, King Saul wanted to kill King David and could. King David could have killed King Saul, but wouldn't. Now watch this. King Adam would love to get rid of King Jesus, but can't. King Jesus could kill King Adam if he wanted to, but won't. Y'all ready? So if King Jesus is ever going to sit on the throne, and King Jesus won't kill him for it, And that means I got to do it.
Amen.
I think Paul said something like this, I die daily. What was he talking about? He said, man, I wake up and he said, I try to do right, and every time I try to do right, I wind up trying to do wrong, and I got these two kids battling on the inside of me. He says, every time I try to do right, I wind up doing wrong, and I'm telling you, I need to die daily to self. Now, let me show you this, and I'm almost done. No amen, please. I want you to turn one more place. 1 Samuel 31. 31. And I'm going to show you how to kill the old king. King Jesus won't do it. He could, but he won't. King Saul would love to kill King David, but he can't. Aren't you glad King Jesus ain't going nowhere?
Amen.
He's there to stay. But he just wants to sit on the seat and control. Now look at chapter 31. Y'all ready? Now the Philistines fought against Israel. And the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and that son. When you know how to say it, you just say it. And the battle went sore against Saul. That means Saul was losing. And the archers hit him. And he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised, we're talking about the Philistines, come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon him. Saul couldn't even get nobody else to kill him. Saul had to do it himself. And what Saul did was, he got wounded and he thought they were going to come in and those Philistines were going to abuse him. And so what he did, he tried to get somebody, said, hey, just take a sword and kill me, get this over with. I won't have to go through all that. They'll probably take me and put me in jail or whatever. He said, I ain't going through all that. Just take the sword, thrust it through. And armor bearer said, no, sir. So King Saul had to take a sword and fall on himself. You say, now what are we going to get out of that? I'm fixing to tell you. Remember I told you, and I'm coming down to close. Remember I told you, King Saul would love to kill King David, but can't. King David could kill King Saul, but won't. So how are you going to kill King Saul if King David won't do it for you? Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing of the asunder of the soul and spirit, that's the discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So let me say this. If you're saved, you have a kingdom here.
Amen.
And you have two kings living in the side of that kingdom. You have King Adam. And you know who King Adam is. He's who rears his head up every now and then. Boy, I'm telling you, you know who he is.
Amen.
And there's King Jesus in there.
Yeah.
And there's two kings living in the same kingdom. And there ain't but one seat.
Right.
One of them is sitting there. And the only way to let King Jesus control and rule King Adam's got to die. You say, how do you do that? Every morning when you get up, you take your sword and you fall on it. I said, every morning when you get up, you take the sword and you fall on it. If you want King Jesus, the only way to kill King Adam is by the sword.
Amen.
And that's why the Bible says, I have hid his words in my heart that I might not sin against God.
That's right.
The only way to kill King Adam, because King David ain't going to do it for you. He could, but he won't. He wants you to do it. And how do we do it? Every morning. Now, Lord, I'm reading this sword right here. And Lord, I want you to kill my inward man, that I may let you walk in the newness of life and sit on the throne of my heart. Lord, I read this Bible this morning wanting it. I think Paul put it something like this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Sometimes we have to, no, every morning. Sometimes it's every night before you go to bed. Sometimes it's multiple times during the day. Do you realize how to get rid of King Adam? You quote the sword to it. And if you don't know enough sword to quote to him, that's why you're living a defeated life all the time. You've got to know enough sword to quote to him. Now, when that person pulled out in front of me, I should have started quoting verses to King Adam and said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and start praying for that person. They may not know you, Lord. They may not know you like I do. They may not even be saved. I pray that you protect them right now. Let them slow down so they don't have a wreck. Lord, before they need to find you, and you save them before it's ever left. And you'll find King Adam and move on out of the way for it. I'm telling you to work. Two kings living on the inside of the kingdom. And only one seat.
Yes.
Who's going to sit on the throne?
Amen.
Heavenly Father.